Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I am joined by Dustin Wood. Podcast number three tonight, Dustin. So a lot of people know that we stack these together. So we're sitting here Sunday, April 30th. We are on our third podcast.
Three beers deep. Well, two beers deep, one to go. We saved the big one for last.
Yeah, you don't want to destroy. I mean,
to be fair, we probably just destroyed our palate, but we'll find out. Super stoked for this. This beer, I can dive into it in a little bit, but has a little bit of cool history for me personally. So once Matt talks through the beer a little bit, I'll edumacate y'all on how I first ran into this beer.
So before we jump into the beer itself, you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Barrel Chat. On there, we post all the episode information, post some reels and stuff from the episodes. And then we do like to post about, you know, what we drink throughout the week and stuff like that. Usually those are going up on stories, so got to try and catch those before they are gone. If you love our podcast, please take a moment to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast app. I see a lot of people are getting our podcast from Apple Podcasts and from Spotify. So, you know, a simple rating is fine. If you want to leave, I don't know if it forces you to leave a review. You could just say, this is awesome, or I hate this, or they hate smoothie sours, they can go fuck themselves. Whatever it may be, you know, we just want to hear from me in that. If you got some constructive criticism of our show, shoot us a DM or something on Instagram. That's fine too. We'd also like to hear from you if you have a particular beer that you would like us to review. So if there's something here in locally or in Indiana that we can pretty much easily get our hands on, let us know. And that way we can bring it on the show to review it, or just, you know, drink it in our off time and then discuss it on the Friday four pack instead of doing a full-on review. And if you got something that you want to share with us, maybe it's a homebrew or something that you got out of state, you know, we're happy to take those as well. You can send us a DM on Instagram or email us at barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com. And now let's get into the show. So this beer is from Perennial Artisan Ales, which is a microbrewery in St. Louis, Missouri. They have a 4.09 overall rating on Untappd. Established in 2011, Perennial Artisan Ales is a small batch microbrewery located at 8125 Michigan Avenue in St. Louis City. The 9,200 square foot brewery includes a dedicated temperature controlled fermentation and barrel aging cellar. Perennial also has a 3,200 square foot tasting room as well as a patio on site. We bottle about 25 different beers a year, focusing on Belgian-style ales, imperial stouts, Berliner Weisses, and barrel-aged beers, utilizing local ingredients as much as possible. I always forget that Abraxas is made by them. I always think it's made by the Kentucky Braxton.
Yeah.
Out of Kentucky. I don't know why. My brain always goes there. This beer, Salted Chocolate Abraxas, which is an imperial pastry stout that sits at 11.5% ABV, currently has a 4.24 on Untappd, and this beer is an imperial stout with ancho chilies, cacao nibs, cinnamon, vanilla beans, chocolate sauce, what the fuck, and sea salt.
Just Nesquik.
Chocolate sauce?
Just Nesquik.
I don't think I've ever seen a beer with chocolate sauce. And that is a legitimate reaction. I didn't read these when I copy and pasted. So
just Nesquik sauce, dude.
I just didn't catch chocolate sauce. Interesting. My first question is, will I taste the cinnamon in this? Because right now,
I don't.
The last two cinnamon beers, we're batting two for two.
This is,
it's fucking me
far
up.
Less cinnamon, yeah, on this than
the, I assume,
others.
The answer is no, but.
But, so before we kind of jump into the can design here, I went to St. Louis for a trip for Bottoms Up. I did some selling, and then I went to this craft beer cellar in Clayton, Missouri, which is outside of St. Louis, like a suburb like Carmel. It would be probably the Carmel or Fishers of St. Louis. And I was chatting with this girl named Abby, who we then had on the podcast for her own brewery now, where she brews, Third Wheel in St. Charles,
Missouri. Shout out Third Wheel. God, that beer was so good.
We're
going
to get back
good.
To you, Abby. Don't worry. But
as long as she you got was that the coffee
like,
beer.
She was the like beer expert at this location, the beer store. And I walked around, looked around, picked up a bunch of shit. And then I said, is there anything that I, being from Indiana, may not have seen, heard of, get my hands on? She said, actually, we just got our releases of Abraxas. And I was like, okay, tell me more. She started explaining this. And she said, actually, I get 4 staff bottles that I can give to anybody that I think wouldn't, you know, have a membership to our location or wouldn't normally be here. I'd happily, you know, let you get one of those staff bottles and you can buy it. And I was like, well, fuck yeah, let's do that. Then I sat and chatted with her for a little bit longer. And she said, actually, do you want to go down the street with a few of us and go to this burger joint that's going to tap all 5 variants? Yeah, I do. I really do. I want to go there and try them all. And it was the first time that I think I'd actually have had what I would consider like a Mexican hot chocolate style beer. I've had a few, but this is like, not this one specifically, but regular Abraxas is like the spicy chocolate beer. And it just fucking blew my mind. I was like, this is crazy. What is this beer? This is insane. Now we get a few of them on shelves here, but I found this in Cincinnati at Jungle Gems. So it was sitting on an end cap at Jungle Gems, like a whole box of these things. Fun little story there, but the moral of it is, the more you just talk to people, the more likely you are to get interesting beers.
And one thing to note, this is the 2022 edition of Abraxas. Jumping into, obviously this is just more of a beer label than a can design, which I guess can design doesn't make any sense either because it's always a label.
The can.
Yeah, they're not designing on the can.
Label talk is what we should call it.
Yeah, label talk. All right, I'll start again and everybody can get my piss poor descriptions here. So this one I have always found kind of cool because this is not the first time we've had this beer, but I like all the what I believe to be sort of like Mexican-American, or not Mexican-American, like Aztec, I don't know what that's called.
Mayan?
Yeah, but like what that would be referred to as. That kind of design, like that's where they're pulling from is...
Like Mayan hieroglyphics, realistically.
Yeah, so it's like the Mayan and stuff like that that would have been obviously here in the Americas way back in the day in Aztec culture. That's kind of what they're pulling from here with their designs. It's got like birds and they got the hats on and the feathers and stuff like that. It's a pretty simple label because it's just that and it spells out Abraxas and all of the different kind of, yeah, like the hieroglyphic style labels. It's got 2022 and then, you know, salted chocolate, imperial stout with all the ingredients in it, and then perennial artisan ales at the bottom. It's fairly simplistic, but it stands out because of that that Mayan Aztecian design. Like, to me, this is something that I would at least look at further because it's like, well, what the hell is that? And then you see that it's got more, and this isn't a barrel-aged beer. It's just an imperial stout.
Yeah, you have to go to the fucking release to get your hands on the BA versions.
And so this is just the salted chocolate variant of Abraxas, obviously. I don't really know what else to say. Like, the back of the label has a few little bit of designs, but nothing that really stands out. It's a little busy, like, when you look at it. And it's hard to see, like, what it all is, but I feel like it's just more of that cultural design work. Everything is really legible, which I know has been a problem on some of the cans that we've had recently where the font and stuff is just a little bit too hard to read. But with this one, I feel like it definitely is very easy. And something that you can read from, like I'm blind as shit. And even I can read like salted chocolate from, you know, way over here. It's about, I don't know, 5 feet.
Give or take.
You know, I can't read the ingredient list underneath it, but I can read salted chocolate.
Yeah, so first thing that jumps out here, the label's brown, but like wood grained-ish almost, or has like a texture.
That's kind of what I was thinking too, is like a wood grainy, but then like you look at it and it's not, but yeah. I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either, but it almost blends into the bottle because the bottle is uber dark brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's big, I think it's 750 milliliters, so big. As far as design goes, it is an Abraxas beer. This logo is tried and true. The graphics are tried and true, but it still stands out on the shelf because it's different, because it doesn't have bright, bold colors on it. It's like almost a tannish orange on top of a brown label, so it just kind of is what it is, but it almost describes the beer by how it looks. It looks like a stout. You expect it to be a stout. It's dark. It's kind of dingy. But Perennial's logo is fantastic. I've always been a big fan of their text and their logo. It's easy to read, like Matt said. Honestly, not a whole lot of bad or positive feedback for this label. It's just a label that I think it's tried and true. They're not going to change it.
Yeah, I feel like it's a come down from the last episode with that Hydra one, because that one is just so damn cool. And like this one is cool, but it's also very like neutral, because it's not boring and it's not really bland, but it's also not like, holy shit, this is crazy. It's more of just like, okay, like you did a good job with it.
I would, and I knew this coming into it, so I just am going to bite the bullet. But I would like to point out here that this beer does contain lactose, and it is set on the side of the bottle that says Star contains lactose. So for what that's worth.
All right. So we are going to go through the BJCP style guidelines. There's 4 different guidelines that they have set up: appearance, aroma, flavor, and mouthfeel. We use these because we are not brewers, so we don't really know what we should be expecting out of some of these beer styles. Obviously, when it comes to Imperial Stouts, this is our like 80th so far in only 16 episodes. But or this would be episode 19. So out of those, you know, we've done about 80 of these now. So we kind of know what to expect, but we still go through these guidelines for anyone who is new, as this is a good way for you to understand maybe what to expect out of this beer. So when we talk about what we're tasting, it's easy to be like, okay, it somewhat matches, it doesn't come close, it's missing this, it's great in this area, that kind of stuff. That's why we go down this guideline. Why would you not use it? It was made perfectly for all the judging, so you might as well. Now, we have kind of tapered these down a bit. Some of those guidelines get to be like 2 paragraphs long. That would take us forever to read. We kind of did it at the beginning. Then I learned about ChatGPT, and I was able to kind of meld everything, and you can tell it, spit it out in 2 sentences, and you take a 2-paragraph summary and turn it into 2 sentences, and I think it gets the job done pretty well. So, first off, overall impression, this is kind of what the BJCP expects out of a beer style like this. Now, this is an amalgamation of the alternative sugar beer and an Imperial Stout. So I kind of took both of those guidelines, put them into one.
Shammed them together.
And this is kind of what we're getting. So this is kind of a bastardized version of the BJCP guidelines. Bear with us. A tasteful integration of sugar in beer, where the sugar character should be evident but balanced with the beer, not appearing artificial. This big, bold, and dark ale with strong flavors of roasted malt and darker dried fruit should blend together smoothly and harmoniously with a warming and bittersweet finish. So that's what we should expect. By the time we are done going through all 4 of these other steps, that's kind of what this overall taste profile, aroma profile, mouthfeel, everything should represent. So the first one here is appearance. So same as the base beer, although some sugars will add additional, usually darker colors. The color of this beer can be very dark from reddish brown to black. It should be opaque with a dark brown or tan head that doesn't last too long. If it's strong, you might see legs when you swirl it around in a glass.
First things first, this beer poured damn near motor oil black.
Yep.
When we did originally pour it, it had a good amount of like a beautiful tan, think like coffee foam head to it. It's since dissipated, but it still has the little like ring around the outside of the glass. It does have some alcohol legs, at least in my glass, going on. But as far as appearance goes, it looks like a stout. It looks like you would want it to. But it did have a really beautiful like coffee or espresso foam head color on it as soon as we poured it, but it has since then died.
Yeah, and there's a little bit left. Like, it's all hanging around the edges, but this looks like basically every other Imperial Stout that we've done where there's just not much of a head to it. And again, not too surprising. It's, what was it, 11%? 11.5. And all the adjuncts, it's just going to, as we've learned, it's going to get rid of that head pretty quick. But otherwise, I think it's a beautiful kind of black motor oil, jet black color. Tells you it's a big bitch. Yep. Right from the beginning.
It's not shy.
Love it. Aroma. The same as the base beer style, with added grains contributing a distinct character. The aroma can be complex, with notes of roasted grains, maltiness, fruity esters, hops, and alcohol. And the roasted malt character can range from subtle to moderately strong with burnt tones.
First things first, I believe the chili comes through immaculately on the nose.
Yep.
There's a little bit of cinnamon, some dark, like baker's chocolate, then some sweetness in the roasted malts, and then a nice peppery finish on the end is kind of where I'm at. I don't get a whole lot of caramel, a little bit of like salted nose to it, but not a whole lot. But that chilies and like the peppery spice comes in hot on the nose. Not in a bad way, but it's big.
I definitely get the chilies, and I do get the cinnamon. So it does make me wonder if maybe thanks to, was it Life of Marty? Maybe something's kind of unlocked in my brain that now I know what that smells like in a beer.
Thanks,
because
Cody.
This is now the third time. But it's not an overpowering sensation either, like in Life of Marty.
No, it's not Life of Marty strong.
Yeah, or even like the one we had at Deviate, where it was very evident. This one is more subtle, but I feel like that's what it is. Because it's like there's chili, and then there's a little bit of like a sweet spice. And so there's a good chance that I've always been able to smell it, and I've just not known
what it was.
Because I don't sit around smelling cinnamon. But this is also made with cinnamon sticks, which is what I'm starting to think is maybe the difference, because Life of Marty was made with cinnamon sticks too. So maybe using actual real shit.
But the
difference.
The overall like nose is very chili, chocolate, and cinnamon.
It's very Mexican chili. Like, it reminds me of Westbrook's Mexican cake 100%. Yep. Which is not bad. It's great. But, you know, chocolate sauce, no. I don't really get sea salt. I don't really get caramel. Maybe a little vanilla if I'm reaching, but nothing that, it's really mostly chili and spice. Flavor-wise, this is going to be same as the base beer style. So this base beer is obviously just Abraxas, and then they added salted caramel to it to be the variant. The added grain should be noticeable in flavor, with varying levels of roasted malt, fruit, hops, and alcohol. Flavors of bittersweet chocolate, coffee, and cocoa are common, with a dry to moderately sweet finish and a lingering roastiness, while some grains and dryness to the finish. while some grains add a dryness to the finish. Help if I could read.
So before I jump in here to the flavor profile, just so y'all and Matt are aware, there's actually no caramel in this beer. It is salted chocolate. So it's sea salt and chocolate.
Have I literally been saying this wrong the whole time?
Yeah. So just FYI, there's no caramel
in
this
beer. That makes sense. And that's why we're dumbasses.
Well, to be fair, anytime you think salted, you think salted caramel. That's just because that's what you think, right? Like that's where your brain goes. But this is just a salted chocolate. So they just dumped chocolate sauce and sea salt in it. The caramel notes you're getting are probably just the burnt malts and the like vanilla.
We even read the fucking beer notes multiple times. Never once said caramel. This is what happens when you're on beer number three of the night and you're just back to back to back recording too.
Now this is when the chocolate comes out.
Oh,
the chocolate comes to play big time. It's the front runner. Little notes of little notes of the salt right after the chocolate. And then the chili, the cinnamon, and the vanilla kind of round it out on the back end with almost like a subtle maple characteristic. Like a nice sweetness, a little cloying. Then a beautiful like charred flavor on the very, very back, like the wood or maybe just the burnt barleys and roast malts. But man, it is a deep flavor profile.
This is one where when someone says this is a complex flavor profile, you understand what they mean. Because I feel like sometimes people say that and you're like, yeah, but all I can taste is like one thing. Like here you have, you know, six ingredients, and you can kind of taste just about all of them. This 100% tastes like any piece of chocolate that has sea salt on it. So, you know, my wife buys this stuff at Aldi's all the time, and this is what this reminds me of, is
like,
eating
is it
those.
The bark?
No, they're just like little pieces of candy. And I think the thing is, half the time they have caramel in them. So I think that's one of the reasons my mind went that way, was thinking the chocolate caramel, like sea salt chocolate caramel type things that she's always getting.
I used to buy these back when I could devour chocolate. I used to buy from Costco these bags of chocolate bark that had dark chocolate sea salt.
That sounds good.
That is what this reminds me of. Because the chocolate is right up front. It punches you in the mouth right as you put right up front.
Ton of it.
Like almost like Tootsie Roll like chocolate, but not in a bad, like in a good, like this is what I want, or like a reason maybe.
Yeah. And it's chocolate. It's not cocoa, it's not cacao. Chocolate. It is. And that's where that chocolate sauce has probably come through. It's like, this is chocolate.
Yep. And it's rich chocolate, creamy chocolate. The salt profile comes right after it, so it adds that like nice savory,
it's like a salted
characteristic.
Raisin.
Yeah. It tastes like a salted raisin with hints of cinnamon and hints of vanilla and the chilies on the back end. So it's not spicy on the front end, but they are there.
They're there. So the
more
I drink this, it is really subtle, because for someone like me, I can usually taste, well, shouldn't say I taste the spiciness, because I don't think that's an actual thing, but like you get that burning sensation in the back of your throat from a lot of these beers that have chilies and stuff. I don't get that with this.
Very light.
I don't get it at all. So I don't know if that's because of the smoothie sour we drank before this and it's all just coated or something, but I don't get that. I get the chili flavor, and I get like that, but I don't really get that spice that I would anticipate that I normally get from drinking these spicy beers. So that would be the only, you know, if you want to call it a negative, there's that. But
Matt, that's a positive. So
I was gonna say, in a way, yeah, because I still get the chili flavor, and to me, that's more important than the spice.
There's a
kick.
I took a drink, waited a little while. There's a subtle, almost like peppery coffee, very finished note that I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but like on the very, very, very back end, I get this like, not super coffee, but like, think like 4-day old coffee grinds.
I don't know what that would be like, to be honest.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a whiff of coffee. Just a hint. Somebody, you take a drink and somebody in the background says,
I don't really pull any coffee out of it. You do get the vanilla quite a bit on that back end. That's where that kind of really shines. And it does make me wonder, like, the more this, because this is kind of cold still, you know, it's not freezing by any means, but it doesn't feel like it's quite room temperature.
Yeah, it's probably like 55 or 60 right now.
It feels maybe a little colder to me than that, you know, just in my hands. But it would be curious, because a lot of times when we drink these and they have vanilla beans, the vanilla starts to kind of come through a little bit too much.
Get cloying, yeah.
And so it would be interesting to know, like, does that happen, or does it stay this kind of nice blended profile on that back end? But you get it all, you know? Like, outside of that spice kick that, you know, you may want on the back end of it.
You get that from the regular Abraxas.
That's the only thing I'm missing in this, to be honest. You get chocolate, so that's going to give you cacao and chocolate. You get the chilies. You for damn sure get the sea salt.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't think I taste much cinnamon. I smell it.
I think this cinnamon comes in like a roundabout fashion for the flavor. It's there, but it's not as bold as all the other flavors. So, and it's more subtle, but it is there. I can taste it. It's like that. Maybe that's part of the spice that I'm getting on the back end, but who knows? I do think that everything's in it, though. If you read the bottle, everything's in it.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Last thing here is mouthfeel. The additional grains used in this beer can either increase or decrease its body and viscosity. This beer is typically full-bodied with a velvety texture, gentle warmth from alcohol, and appropriate carbonation. So I did kind of want to maybe point this out, because it just kind of dawned on me. So we got that message from Cody Moon when we kind of asked him about Life of Marty. Because, you know, we have questions and stuff, and we like to see if our sort of review and feedback kind of matches what a brewer may think about the beer. Because then that also does help us. Like, if we're way the fuck off, or like we get, like with me, why the fuck did I taste so much cinnamon in that beer? And he was like, yeah, the cinnamon might have been a little overdone in this. It was their first batch of it on a bigger level. And it's like, okay, so I'm not fucking crazy. There's this. He mentioned that if it's a big full-bodied beer, that can cause you to lose some of the base beer. And I feel like that's happened here. And here's why. We're getting a lot of chocolate, which is easy to call from a stout. But like, we're not really getting roasted malt. You said that you've pulled some coffee. I didn't pull really any coffee. Like, it is a good beer, and you can tell that there's a beer base to it. But it does feel like it's an adjunct beer. Like, when you really start to think about it, it's like, man, you do kind of lose some of that stout profile through a lot of it. And the chocolate just kind of resonates more because they added a fuck ton of chocolate to it.
I see where you're coming from and like what you're getting at. I do get quite a bit of like roasted malt and like barley in here, but it's definitely masqueraded by the chocolate. But if you on the back end, there's tons and tons of like roast character to this beer. At least I get a ton of roast character on the back end.
My brain is just not pulling it. It's just not pulling stout necessarily.
Well, to be fair, this is like a triple adjuncted stout.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Abraxas probably comes from their original base stout, whatever it would may be. Axes or...
I just think it's a fair thing to point out.
Yeah.
Of like...
But...
I would be curious to taste regular Abraxas because of how much chocolate is in this one. Because that chocolate sauce, I do feel, is amping it up.
Regular Abraxas tastes just like Chocobesa. It's a better version of Chocobesa, but...
Fuck, dude, I forgot Chocobesa was a thing. I bet we don't even get that anymore.
It's a better version of Chocobesa, so it's exactly what it is.
Interesting.
It's like the big brother or big sister of Chacabeza. That's Stone's version of this beer for anybody who is questioning what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah. So what do you think mouthfeel wise?
I think it's fantastic. It is creamy. It is kind of like, it's definitely a full body. It's a bit syrupy, has a good amount of carbonation. Overall, the mouthfeel is what I want from a big, bold pastry or imperial stout. It's what I'm looking for whenever I'm like, hey, this beer's too thin. This is a good example to be like, hey, this beer's not thin. Like, shit.
Yeah, this thing, motor oil thickness.
Yep.
Not a bad thing. I do think maybe I feel like because of what is in it, because they put chocolate sauce, you're expecting that kind of thickness to it. I think if that wasn't there, it may be a little bit. You can go too thick, obviously, like the last beer we had, but I feel like maybe with an Imperial Stout, it can be a little bit too much sometimes. This one is on the edge for me of like, it doesn't need to be this thick. But I don't want, it's like, it's also hard to say that it's a bad thing. It's just, it's very.
This is viscous. What I want out of this beer. It is quite, has a lot of viscosity is the best way.
I think viscous is a word.
It's viscous.
That sounds too fancy for me to have made that up. I ain't that damn smart. So that's how I kind of feel. Is like there's a lot to it.
But it carries the flavor as well at that point too. So I think if it was any thinner, you may lose some of the like flavor profile that you get because it's so thick. I like it overall. Like it's big, it's bold. It's straight to the fucking point about what it is. It's not sorry. It's unapologetic.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful beer. It really is. I think it's definitely worth people trying Abraxas and then trying some of the variants. I do think trying the base version before the variants is sometimes important because I think it sometimes helps to see, like, do the variants really... Some beers don't need variants. Deadline is a great example of that. I've talked about this 2 weeks ago now on our Friday 4-pack. It's not needed. Like, the variants all kind of missed the mark for me personally, but Deadline itself, fucking fantastic, worth every bit of the $20 for a 4-pack. And then the double rye barrel version is just a fucking souped up version of regular Deadline. And it's like just even better. All right. So now we are going to discuss our top 50 list. So we have a top 50 list for our house beers and a top 50 list for our specialty beers. And then I don't know if it's out by now or not, but we have talked about just combining both of them too and creating a third one, which I know is a lot. We also feel like they could all be put together to decide what it's at, and it helps get the smoothie sours on a list somewhere, because right now they're on their own. Let's see here. Let's kind of go back through. I was putting this together. I feel like I may have missed some, which is very possible, because I 3, 4, 5. I only have 6 listed. Does that mean out of all these shows, I feel like we may have missed some somewhere, but we'll figure it out if I'm wrong here. Because based on this, we only have 1 in the top 10, which seems odd. But that is Foreign Local Brewing's Ghost Chant Fruited Berliner Weiss. And that sits at number 1. Next, we have Westbrook Brewing Company's Mexican Cake Imperial Stout from 2022, and that sits at number 12. Transient Artisan Ale Juni Swirl Barrel Aged Imperial Stout from 2022 sits at 18. Windmill Brewing Demimogorgon Memes Cake Imperial Pastry Stout sits at 21.
It's a lot of words.
Science Project Brewing's Life of the Marty Imperial Pastry Stout sits at 30. And then Transient Artisan Ale Ardent Farmhouse Saison sits at 45.
I think for me personally, even with this containing lactose, I think this is a top 10 beer right now for us. I don't know where. Because I think it's got a better body than Westbrook. The one thing I think Westbrook has is it has the base stout a little more visible in it. But as far as being true to what the fuck is printed on the front of the bottle and me going, okay, I want another drink of this. This is a fantastic beer. Everything's there. The consistency's there. The viscosity's there. It had a head. It's got carbonation. It's brewed every year, I think. I don't know if this specific one is brewed every year, but
I think for me personally, I feel like, and this is the hard part of like trying to remember, because like you could, I feel like I liked what Westbrook's Mexican Cake better.
The thing with me and Westbrook's beer is I think it was almost too much like spice on it and didn't let the other things come through. This one, there is spice. The flavor of spice is there. That the actual spice is not there, but the flavor is there. But also, it doesn't take away from the fact that there is salt in it. And it doesn't take away from the fact that there is chocolate sauce and vanilla and other things in this beer. That even though I'm going to, you know, probably regret drinking it, I'm going to like drinking it. It's thick. It's what you want for a stout. It's packaged in a fucking big ass bottle.
I think the only thing that's really missing the mark for me is the mouthfeel. And that is so fucking weird to say. But it's almost too thick for me. Like I keep drinking it and it tastes great. It's got the carbonation. It's got the aroma. Like it's got really everything you want. I feel like it's missing that spice that you are expecting out of the chili.
But I'm guessing the chocolate probably tamps that quite a bit.
Yeah. But there's something about it that's just like, it's a little too thick. And so like the more you drink it, it's just like that thickness is just there every time.
It's definitely a one glass beer.
And I don't even, like, it's going to be hard for me to finish this, and I didn't even pour that much. This is just tough, because we put Westbrook at 12, but at the same point, like, I don't think you're wrong that this is a top 10. But then does that mean that Westbrook's Mexican Cake is a top 10?
I don't know, mainly because I think it would be more fun to compare a variant of Westbrook to a variant of Abraxas.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was their main one. Like, churro Mexican Cake is pretty fucking good. I think I can live with that. I think I can live with,
I think, a 10.
10.
Now, let's call a spade here. And this doesn't, I mean, this is a great beer round and all in all. Westbrook's a great beer all in all. But if we want to list top 50 beers or top 100 beers overall, neither one touches Savoy Truffle.
Oh, no. I mean, I would actually question if either of them are in the top 10 of what, well, that's a lie. I was going to say top 10 of what we drank, but we've only had technically 18 beers so far. So if we went that route, they would probably definitely make the top
10. Both of them would be for right
but
now,
I
they would.
I feel like they'd be towards the bottom of that top 10. Between the two, because Savoy would obviously be one. I think Ghost Chant would be two. And then I wouldn't put either of them over Spotted Cow. I just think that they're ones that I'm going to go back to. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily go out of my way to buy this again.
Yeah.
And at least a variant version. You know, I would I need to try the Abraxas, because as I said, I kind of ran into this a few weeks ago when I went to Taxman, of very similar, of like, Deadline, fucking fantastic. Adjunct versions, not so great for me. So maybe that's what I'm running into. Maybe it's just one of those situations. I'm okay with 10. We can put it at 10. Because I'm pretty sure that's not where that hipster one was.
No.
That we had from Oddside. So
I think it was right behind Westbrook.
I feel like it was in the range. 13 or 14. I don't know where that went. So I need to get those updated.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
It was good, though. But those were all good beers.
All right. So number 10. Number 10 on the top 50 specialty beers list. So, all right, folks. Well, that is going to do it. Make sure you check us out on Friday. We'll have another Friday 4-pack for you. And that's going to consist of what we've been drinking, a couple news stories, as well as around Indiana. Just what's coming up in beer releases, events. There's a fuck ton of events going on in the month of May. So we'll definitely try and get out to some of those. You may see us around. Say hi. If you do, let us know if you got an event going on or one that you're going to. That way we can add it to our calendar. And you can also, you know, tell us that you're going and maybe we'll see you there.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get off of our asses and do something.
Yeah, we'll try. So we will see you all on Friday. Cheers.
Cheers, y'all.